Well, I first want to start off by saying thank you, church family, for your support in Orange and making it possible for us to be a part of this mission trip. We got to go serve and love in the Dominican Republic and be with our missionaries, Jim and Renee Larson, along with their team, John and Stacy, and Emily and Joe Henry. And so you are a big part of making this happen. And so we just want to say thank you. We really appreciate your response and then opening up the door so we could all go. I am really, really proud of this team. They showed up and were ready to go. We saw them do things that they probably never saw themselves doing. We got to see each other step out of the boat in faith and watch what God would do with them with one act of obedience and trust. And we really got to see that God elevated them. We saw the anointing on them. We saw the Holy Spirit move through them and got to hear every night what God did in their lives and through them. So it was pretty powerful. You're going to hear many God encounters. I said this at the end of this first service. We could be here all day with the things that all of us could share, but I've given them 2 minutes. So we had divine heavenly setups, one-on-one encounters, things that only God could plan in advance for us, and we got to see it firsthand. We recognized it almost immediately that God was doing something that we couldn't do and put us in situations where he was going to use us, and it could only be that individual and that person. And so we went door to door asking if we could pray for people, and it was powerful. You'll hear many of those stories. But it was those moments where we saw God pick out individuals, whether it was in a home, church, door-to-door, or our ministry opportunities, where God personally picked out people and let them know, hey, I see you, I hear you, I love you, and I'm calling you. It was incredible to experience and to sit back. I got to sit back and watch this team minister, and I got so much joy out of watching them come out of their shell, get over their fear, and allow God to use them. So I'll give you the quick schedule of what we did so you can kind of follow along with what they're saying. On Thursday, we went into the Hope Center, which is the church that is being built. It's the church and community center being built right in the center of two communities where City Church put in two water wells so they could have running water. There's a pastor already in place. We got to go in and do cement work and paint the first floor, which is classrooms and places for them to meet while they're getting the second story of the church already. Half of our team would do that. The other half would go door to door and minister in the communities around the church. And then at lunchtime, we swapped. Friday, we did the Hope Center again, more painting and work. And then we got ready to do our youth service, which we were going into the community, into an open air venue. And we were going to go around and invite youth to come and be a part of that. Of course, when we got there, it just started to rain and then pour. And so we're stuck in this little area. And we decided we're going to pray. Asked God to stop the rain. He did. We went out, brought the youth in, and had an incredible time of ministry all night doing that. On Saturday, we divided our group, this group, into five different teams, and we went into five different Dominican homes and spent the day in the life of a Dominican. So we ate with them, we cleaned with them, we went shopping with them, we played with their kids. We did whatever we could for the day and spent time with them. Awesome and powerful. We also got to dance and worship with them. It was amazing. Sunday, we divided our group into two and went to two different churches where James got to preach in one church and I got to preach in another. And just again, just to be with the Dominicans and worship with them and be a part of that was incredible. And Monday was our fun day in the morning. And then the evening, we spent time doing worship together, ministering to one another and sharing together. I'm going to now hand this off because this is going to be the most important part of the day.
Hello, my name is Andrew, and I'm up first. So I kind of had three highlights from this trip that I'm going to share with you guys. There's so much more that I want to share, but I just unfortunately don't have time. Number one was the work site. At first, I was kind of just like, just happy to be working and serving, you know, working on this like church and community center, like two-story building. And we're just doing concrete work and painting and hauling bricks and just normal stuff like that. And I kind of just was just working, you know? But then as I began to talk to people in the community and I began to hear about their lives and their situations, and I learned that Some of them were fearful. They didn't feel safe, and some of them felt alone and isolated. And we told them about this place, and they were overjoyed that a place like this was being built. And that's when I really realized, like, how important what we're building actually is. This is a place of safety, a place of love, and a beacon of hope for all these people who live in fear and desperation for most of the day. So that was just, that really invigorated my work that I wasn't just building something for no reason. Next was the youth night. The youth night was awesome, not only because it was like a ton of fun to play with the kids and because I got to talk to some of them in Spanish and stuff, but also because I got to give my first ever sermon. And so that was really fun. It was a little strange because you had to like interpret, so you'd like say a little bit and like the interpreter would say it, and you'd say a little bit and you'd interpret it. But it went really well and I was very happy with it. And then I got to the end and it was time for prayer and we opened up the altar. No one moved. And so it was very awkward. I was just standing there like, God, why are no kids coming up? So that was a little scary. But then it took them a second. Eventually, a ton of kids came up. And so we got to pray for all kinds of kids. And it was amazing. And finally was the door to ministries. Anybody who knows me, I really like to pray for people. So I was very excited about this. And we got to the first house. And I was just taken back by the hospitality they had because they didn't even know any of us. It was like a group of like six people they had never met in their life, and they invited us into our house without a second thought. And they pulled out chairs for us, and they sat us down, and they were just so loving without even thinking about it. And so that was really cool. But then I was kind of discouraged because the first family we talked to, they didn't seem very interested in prayer or anything. And so I was kind of like, man, I hope it's not like this the whole time. You know, they're just like, oh, just pray for blessings, you know, in general. And so I was a little discouraged. But as we went to more and more houses, people began to open up and people started asking for prayer for the traumas they had and for healing and for more than just that. And then it all came to a peak when we got to the final house. There was just one man there living by himself. And he asked us to pray for salvation. And so we were like, wow, that's exactly what we're here for, right? And so as we started talking to him, though, we realized that he was believing in works by faith. He kept saying that he would try so hard to be perfect and they'd mess up and he'd have to start all over again. And we just told him, that's not how it is. Jesus loves you and he died for you on the cross. So now you can receive salvation as a free gift if you just accept him into your heart. And so after he realized that, he was so surprised. And so immediately he wanted to accept God into his heart. And we led him through the prayer, and he immediately fell to his knees, and he put his face in the dirt, and he just cried out to God. And it was such a beautiful encounter to see this man give his heart to God, just so 100% just leaving it all for God. And so overall, this trip was phenomenal. It was amazing to be able to have God work through me and see him work through all these people behind me. And I'm very thankful for this trip and all of your guys' support.
Hi, everyone. My name is Lauren Rohde, and this was the fourth mission trip that I've been on. It was so amazing to become closer with all of the people that went on the trip with me, as well as just to be able to make relationships with the people in the DR. This trip really showed me that no matter how much or how little you have, nothing truly matters if you don't have a strong relationship with the Lord. It was like so amazing to just step back and be able to recognize that our relationships with others and with God are so much more important than all of the possessions that we have. It reminded me that it is so important to store up our treasures in heaven, as it says in Matthew. And it helped me realize that I don't need to worry about things because I have the Lord as my strength. So many times during the trips, something difficult would happen, like the power would go out again or we would lose water. But it just kept reminding me that the joy of the Lord is my strength and that I can live without those material things because I have the Lord. Another thing that God was just reteaching me on this trip is that he is so faithful. For some context, after last year's trip, I felt very called into missions and talked with Jim and Renee, who are the missionaries down there. And they had invited me to come stay with them and live down there. And then like after the team came back this year, I would just stay and live there. And so I was choosing not to apply to any colleges just because I felt so called into missions. One night in October, my dad got a call from Jim Larson, who told him that one of the missionaries down there, whose name was Kim, had unexpectedly passed away, and I wasn't going to be able to move down there. And I was really sad, but not only about Kim, but also because I felt like God was ignoring my desire to become a missionary. I had completely shut down the idea of missions and just ignored the dream that I had. I started applying to colleges and just decided that that's what I had to do after high school. All throughout my second semester of my senior year, I was just getting really excited to go to Grand Canyon University and study there, but I was recently I've just been questioning if that's where God wanted me. Last Wednesday, when we landed in the Dominican Republic, I felt all of the hard emotions coming back to me of how my heart was broken, that I wasn't going to be able to stay down there and live as a missionary. The whole week was so amazing, and it was just so rewarding that it just broke my heart to leave. On Monday night, the worship and prayer night, I had been struggling with whether or not I was supposed to throw away all of my college plans and just move somewhere to do missions work instead. I felt like God didn't see me in my struggle, and I was asking him where he was in the midst of my confusion. During the worship night on Monday, Derek, James, Doug, and Sarah all prayed over all of the students, and I knew that those prayers would help confirm in me if I was supposed to do missions or go to college. The whole time that they prayed for me, it was about how God saw me and saw the desires of my heart, which they said were to be a wife, a mom, and a missionary, which aligned with what my passions are. Not only this, but they prayed that I would be a strong leader. All of these things showed me that God saw my heart and loved me and has good plans for my life. James prayed over me and he told me that college will help prepare me for the missions field. After prayer that night, I felt so at peace with my plans to go to college and let God move in my life during my time there to prepare me for my dreams and to start to fulfill the desires of my heart. I still feel very called to missions, and I know that God put that desire in my heart for a reason, and I know that I can trust his plans for my life. One thing that stuck out to me on the Monday worship night was the line in the song, At the Altar. It goes, "Come lay your broken dreams at the altar." All week, I was trying to control my life and wasn't letting God hold on to my dreams because last time I did that, my heart got broken. The lyric of that song really spoke to me and helped me give my broken dreams to God and trust that he will continue the good work that he started in me and that he will continue to fulfill the desires of my heart for my good and for his glory.
Hello, guys. My name is Isaac. I am Isaac Meyer. I'm 16, and this is my second missions trip. I went to the Belize 2 years ago, and that was pretty awesome. This was also pretty awesome. The people were amazing. Our whole team was really awesome. And I think the biggest takeaway, which you guys will hear later, is that love needs no translation. There was a lot of examples. So when we went door to door, what Andrew was saying is the people were so loving, so kind, and we, you know, we just went up to their doors. We were just like, "Hi, you know, my name is Andrew." They're like, come into our house." I was like, "Oh wow, that's awesome!" I was like, we didn't really explain who we were. They just offered us seats, and they were so open with like what was going on in their lives. So open with like, you know, prayer requests, and then when we did the immersion day. We were with a lady, her name was Karen, and she was so nice to us. She obviously didn't speak English, but we did have a translator with us, but the people I was with really were not nice and decided to go to the other house and left me with her. It wasn't actually that mean, I was totally fine with it. But I know no Spanish, so only like 3 words, so I was a little nervous. You know, I was just doing her dishes and she was making food and she was like asking me to like get stuff off of her drying rack. I'm like, "I don't know what you're saying." I was like pointing at things. She's like, no. She's like, "Yeah." So I got it. And that was so awesome. You know, she was so understanding and she cared for us and just like, she treated us like we were a part of her family and allowed us to like help her in her home. And that was super, super awesome. So the whole trip was just a very, like a big opener on like how much loving people can show God's love for other people and just show the love that God has. So through this trip, it kind of opened my heart for God to do more things and just open him to help me through stuff and just, yeah, showed me how to love people. So it was pretty awesome.
Hi, my name's Alexa. I'm 18 years old. And this last week, I had the incredible opportunity to serve on a missions trip to the Dominican Republic with Everyday Ministries. And it was one of the most faith-deepening experiences for me. There were so many amazing God-given moments and things that happened that it's really hard to pick only a couple to share for my testimony. One of the things that we did was go door to door to share the gospel and ask to pray for people, where I got to see a grown man fall to his knees, face in the dirt, and surrender his life to Jesus in front of 3 women, which is something that's considered very uncommon and very shameful in that culture. as Andrew had described earlier. But God moved past those cultural norms and worked in his heart as we led him through the Romans Road and left me and the interpreter crying as we watched him give his full submission to the Lord. We also helped build a hope center for the community and hosted a youth event where I got to share my testimony publicly for the first time surrounding the incident that happened at ALCS this year, which I was very, very nervous for. But God was able to use my pain and my experience to bring connection. One of the most beautiful parts of the trip was seeing God's perfect timing through divine appointments nearly every single day. At our youth event, I got to meet a girl who had experienced a shooting in her own community and lost several people, mainly lots of young children that she knew, and she couldn't have been older than 10 years old. I got the opportunity to pray with her with my friend Andrew, and later got to process and talk about it with her. God had placed us in each other's paths that night. We also got to do a cultural immersion day, spending the whole day with a member of the church. My group was me, Sarah Wright, and Doug, and we got to spend the whole day with a woman named Antonia, who had the most joy of anyone that I've ever seen, and her hope in the Lord was so inspiring. I got to connect with this woman who had a daughter who had been living in Chile for 4 years. For context, my mother is from Chile, and so it opened a door for deep conversation and understanding with her. As we spoke, she got to tell me her story, and she wept as she told me her struggle raising her daughter's children because she hadn't been able to see her daughter in 4 years because of immigration laws. And she was so filled with sorrow but had so much hope in the Lord. It seemed that everyone that day was placed with the person they were meant to be with for our cultural immersion. Lastly, we got to go to a church, the church that we stayed with, the family that we were with, we got to go to their church the next day, which was very fulfilling. The entire service was purely focused on praising the Lord, and it was just utterly worshiping his name. Worshiping with the Dominican church showed me how to fully rejoice in the Lord like no other, no matter what, especially the dance party that happened after the service was over, where we got to sing praise songs together. It seemed that every day the Lord had set up these divine appointments for me when I least expected over things that I couldn't have expected either. This trip reminded me that the Lord is always working through our stories, our scars, and even across language and culture. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Gemma, and this was my very first missions trip. Going into the trip, I was excited, but also nervous because I wasn't really sure what to expect. The first day, we split into groups and did door-to-door ministry. I was honestly really terrified for this because it involved talking to and praying for total strangers. And this is something that I don't particularly enjoy. I like playing it safe and staying inside my own bubble of people, so reaching out like this was both challenging and scary. The group that I was in had a bunch of people who had already been on missions trip before, so I kind of thought I was off the hook and wouldn't have to pray for anyone. Unfortunately, or fortunately, Katie lovingly forced me to pray for people. It wasn't very easy at first, and it didn't get easy as it went on, but I think God used this hard experience to get me to a place where I could be vulnerable and open with my team and those I would come in contact with. God used this trip to help me realize how truly blessed I am. I met people who didn't have a lot, but they were filled with the most joy that I've ever seen before. On our youth outreach day, we got to meet a bunch of youth from all over the community, and it was just so touching to be able to get to know them and hang out with them. There was one little girl that I connected with. Her name was Amy. And at the end of the night, she came up to me and gave me a big hug. And in English, she said, "I love you." And it was just the most touching moment because I'd been trying to talk to Spanish to her the whole night and it wasn't going very well. But to see her come up to me and to make me feel like I had a connection with her was really touching. There were youth from all over the community that came, and they were some of the nicest kids I've met. They never judged you or gave you weird looks. They were so open and friendly. It made me think about how we often act at home and how we can be judgmental and skeptical of people. But the people in the DR were different. They were welcoming and generous. And the best example that I saw of this was on the cultural immersion day when we split into groups and spent the day with Dominican families. Our hostess, Karen, was the sweetest, most loving and patient woman I've ever met. So for a small period of time, our translator had to leave, so we had no one to speak Spanish for us. So that was interesting. We had to cook a meal and help her clean without being able to communicate very well. But she was so patient and so loving. And it was just an amazing experience to see her. And also being able to see her the next day at church was even more incredible. Their worship there was just so freeing, and it was just everyone was fully surrendered to God, and there was no worrying about what other people were thinking. We were dancing and singing, and you didn't feel like you had to hold it back. It was just pure worship. And the best part was at the end when the women started picking up the chairs, and I was like, oh, I guess church is over. Church was not over. They cleared the space to have a huge dance party, and we all just danced and praised God together. Karen and the people in the DR showed me what true joy, kindness, generosity, and patience should look like. And it helped me realize that difficult circumstances aren't an excuse to be self-centered. Rather, we need to take our eyes off ourselves and our own problems and go serve others.
Hi, my name is Blessa, and this is my first missions trip. When I came into it, I didn't know what to expect. I signed up without knowing much information at all. I just knew that there was only one spot left, so I signed up. But throughout this trip, I saw God work in many ways. On the first day, when going door to door, I saw a man give his life to the Lord and truly understand what being a Christian meant. I saw how, in front of us, he called out to God and fell to his knees in front of us. On the second day, I got to watch as Doug was able to translate for a girl who was deaf. And an hour before, I had just learned how to sign my name so I could have a conversation with her. On the third day, I got to see the joy that God had given to a woman who barely had anything and who had just lost her husband 6 months prior. I was able to play with her children, even though I did not know much Spanish at all, but we were still able to play games. The next day, the same woman came up to me for prayer, and I got to pray for her in English, which took a lot of the anxiety I had around praying away, since she couldn't understand what I was saying. On the last day, I got to share my testimony, which I really didn't want to do in the moment, but this helped me let go of a lot of things that I'd been dealing with in the last year. The last night filled me with a sense of peace that I had never felt before. And this helped me discover how perfect God's timing is. And although in the moment we might not understand why he's doing this to us, but he always has a plan for our lives. Through all these difficult, different stories, God really showed me how much his love can really change your life. This trip helped me realize how much God had provided for me and I had taken for granted, such as flushing toilet paper, the ability to drink shower water, and brushing my teeth with sink water. Because of all these things, my relationship with God grew closer.
My name's Sarah, I'm 16, and this is my first missions trip I've ever been on. So for a long time, I had been praying for peace, probably something since December, and I think what I've been doing was just kind of pushing a lot of those feelings down and just praying that it would go away without me having to really confront it. When I heard about this trip, I was really excited because I had heard how missions trip changed people's lives forever. Well, fast forward to Wednesday when we're on a plane leaving, I kept thinking, what if I don't feel that change in my life? And I started to get really nervous. So on Thursday, we started to go door to door, and we met a lot of people, but one family really stood out to me. They were from Haiti, and they couldn't live in their own country, and they were really upset about that, but they also weren't living a safe life in the Dominican. They couldn't really leave their home. They couldn't go work. They're not safe where they live right now because the people who own like their actual house kind of blackmail them a little bit, and their children aren't safe. It's just a really hard situation for them, and you kind of feel helpless in that moment. And so we prayed for them because I feel like that's all we could do. We prayed for them, and we also told them about the center that was being built. And two things that they said to us were they were really excited to go to the center because it was something they could actually go out of their house and do, and they also said that that encounter had made their day. On Friday, we had a youth night, and this day was very precious to me because I got to work with a lot of the little kids, which was so much fun. It was a little hard because sometimes they would try to talk to me, and I had no idea what they were saying, so they'd get a little upset, but it was really, really fun because we kind of compromised with Duck Duck Goose. But I also got to watch a lot of people on the team thrive. Doug and Ben talking with people no one else on our team can communicate with. Then getting to hear Andrew give a message, along with hearing Alexa and Lucas give their testimonies. It was definitely a peaceful night spiritually for me. Saturday and Sunday kind of tied together for me. We met a woman named Dania, and this was a part of our immersion day. So we met a woman named Dania, and she was so kind, so beautiful. She invited us into her home, and although the whole day was supposed to be us serving them, she kind of cleaned everything before we got there, and she really wanted to do the cooking on her own, but we really, really tried to help, and we did all the dishes, so that was really fun. But along with her, we got to meet her loving family, and they were probably the most kind and patient people I've ever met in my life, which was kind of confusing to me, and also with the door-to-door, because people were so welcoming, and I was just confused, because in America, like, people go to door-to-door, you kind of just, like, hide behind your door, and you kind of just, like, shut them out right away, and they all got seats out for everyone that came to their door, and it was just crazy to me. Like, I didn't understand. they were so kind, and yeah. Then on Sunday, we got to see them at church again, and church, I've never been emotional at church, really, but I could not stop crying during the worship because it was so powerful to me, and it was just so peaceful. And then the message was also really, really great by James. Like, I probably was crying until like halfway into it. It was just so good. And then getting to hear Lincoln and Lauren also share their testimonies was really great. And then, like Gemma said, we got to dance with them, which was really, really fun. And I've never done that at church, like, so intensely. It was great. And then on Monday was really, really fun because we got to go to the beach. That was great. And then at night, I had to share my testimony. And I was really worried about it because I had never shared my testimony before. And I was kind of worried, I don't know, about maybe judgment. But after I shared it and we worshiped and then we got prayed over, it was probably the most peace I've felt since December. And that was really great. So I really can't stress this last point more. God has heard your prayers and he's not ignoring you. He just knows when you need it the most. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Nina. This is my first missions trip and definitely won't be my last. Before going on this trip, I didn't know what to expect, and I definitely didn't know how much my life and heart would change because of it. God taught me a lot of things throughout the trip connected to my emotions. He told me to not be afraid. I was struggling with fear to pray during door-to-door when God presented me with an opportunity to give a crying woman a hug. And as I sat down contemplating whether I should hug her or not, Doug looked at me, almost like he read my mind, and told me to hug her. And I knew that was from God. He gave me that strength to get over my fear and do it for his glory. Another thing God showed me was to never take anything for granted. They live in such different ways in the Dominican with so much less than we have here, but they live with so much more joy. They find their joy in the Lord and the connections that they build and love they have for one another. They aren't worried about what clothes they wear or what food they eat. They are just happy to be alive. Another time God taught me was during the immersion day. We had to go to a random family and live a day in their life. I was put in a group with people I wasn't very close with. I had myself in the center of my life for a second, focused on the wrong things. But then God showed me why I was here, to be with that family. The mom, Diana, normally would spend her days alone in the kitchen with her husband working, but God put us there with her for a reason, to make that connection and make her day. Even though it was challenging, God showed me he has a plan in everything we do, big or small. One thing I learned from giving my testimony at church is that I wasn't going to know whose heart I touched with it. But one thing God spoke to me was whether it reached everyone or one person, I still made an impact and spread God's word. On the last night, we had a worship and prayer night. I wasn't expecting as crazy of a change in my heart that happened. A few girls shared their testimonies that made me crack open in tears. Then we were worshiping, and I could just feel all this bottled up emotion and pain that had been affecting my actions and words just starting to crack open. The Holy Spirit was just telling me to let go, and I got you. I felt so at peace. And like Sarah said, just like the last time I felt that peaceful was before December. Derek, Sarah, James, and Doug prayed for me, and I felt an insane weight lifted off of me. Lincoln and I were able to connect on a deeper level, feeling the same way, weeping and letting out all of our built-up emotions. Ecclesiastes 4:10 says, "If either of them fall down, one can help the other up." God taught me through this that we are made for connection and to always be there for one another.
Hi, my name is Lincoln. This week has been one of the most important weeks of my life for so many reasons. A few years ago, my beliefs and actions were very different from how they are now. I felt very spiritual, but for all the wrong reasons. I wasn't doing it for God. I was doing it for other people, to make it look like I was doing it for God. But I wasn't, which in itself is doing it for man and not God, like it should have been. But how I was doing it, it felt like I didn't need to change. On this trip, I met many different people, I heard many different stories, and I saw many different things. They have lived through such terrible things and are still so happy. And you can see the genuine joy that they have. My eyes were opened in a way that they have never been. Seeing these people live their lives for God and their families changed how I viewed living for God. It wasn't an action, but it was a mentality and a lifestyle. I saw that connection with God doesn't look the same for everyone, and that my connection doesn't have to look like anything except mine. I shouldn't have to change myself to try to look like I'm doing something I'm not. Because of how I treated my relationship with God in the past, I've had a hard time trusting God's work in my life, and I always question whether or not things are from Him or not. I just wanted to know that God saw me, that I could believe that he did. During worship on the last night, I'd been writing down thoughts and what I had learned from the whole week and how that affects my life. Nobody saw me doing this, and nobody knew I was doing it. But that same night, I got prayer from Doug, Derek, James, and Sarah. They all took turns praying for me, and every single one of their prayers was exactly what I had been writing down. All their words kept aligning with what I had been writing, and I knew it was from God. Those prayers showed me that God cares and knows me. He revealed himself to me through other people. It was the first time I had heard clearly and understood God for a while, which is what I had realized in that moment was what God has been doing in my heart all week, showing his love and his words through other people. But it didn't stop there. I'd been bottling up my feelings for a very long time. I hadn't felt the need to share my emotions since the tragedy in December. I felt numb, but I felt God telling me to just let go. All of my feelings of guilt, anger, sadness, fear, and hopelessness left me. God has put so many people in my life recently. I was able to connect with Nina that same night, and she said she was experiencing the same thoughts. In that moment, I felt a heavy weight be lifted off of me. I cried for the first time in months, and God showed me that just a simple connection can open up the door to allow God in and be vulnerable. A verse was put on my heart, same as Nina's, Ecclesiastes 4:10. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up, but pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. God showed me that I can trust him and that my feelings matter, and that connection with others and him is the most important and what we are made for. Empty actions are meaningless. God wants our heart. We are made for relationships, relationships with other people, and a relationship with God. Through my reflection over this trip, I've realized I need to build up a new kind of relationship with God, my own relationship. I won't change how I praise God or focus on saying what sounds good during prayer. I've also realized that God doesn't go after our actions or how we look doing them. He goes after us, and we need to give up our earthly worries and desires to build up our relationship with him. Thank you.
My name is Ben, and this is the first mission trip I've been on, and it was a cool experience to visit a different country I've never been to and see how their culture is different. At first, I felt nervous because I knew I'd had to pray at some point, and the first day we had to do door-to-door prayer, and I did not want to do that. I said I would lay hands on people, but I did not want to pray. In the end, I was forced to pray. And the first house I had to pray for was really short, and I felt stupid. I felt that I couldn't pray, and I was useless when it came to praying. When we had the youth night, I thought that the people that were showing up were only going to be kids, but a few 20-year-olds ended up showing up, and it was cool because I was the only one that was really able to connect with them, because a bunch of 20-year-old guys aren't going to go up to my sister. And when anyone else couldn't understand them, I was able to. And I didn't think much of it until the end. So God showed me on this trip that even though I'm not bad at praying, it just takes practice and getting out of your comfort zone. And that even the shortest prayers can be powerful, and God is always listening to them.
Hi, my name is Lucas Meyer. I'm 20 years old, and this was my fourth Quattro missions trip. Last year, I was on the stage, and I gave a testimony, and I laid a lot of my life down to God. And this trip, God showed me what he can do through his love. So now, a year later, I look the same. I struggle with the same things, but I know Jesus more than I ever have. I understand his love more than I ever have as well. During this trip, many things happened that my old self would struggle with a lot, and all of these are my problems, and they're due to like deep insecurities. So it's nothing to do with the team. Like, they're all amazing. And this year, I wasn't trying to be the center of all of it or the one who does everything. I went just to serve and to love, which seems so easy, but for me, it hasn't been easy for many years. For me to watch people just be amazing and do good has always been a struggle for me, and I've hated myself for it for so long. I always wanted it to be me who's doing all the good things, and I always wanted to be the one that was seen. But God took that from my heart, and I got to watch God this year and be there for anything he needed me to do. I watched our younger people break barriers. Literally, they would tell me in the car that they were scared to do something, and 30 minutes later, they would be doing it. I watched them break their fears with Jesus. I watched them thrive. I watched them pray. Even when they were a little nervous, I watched them change lives with their obedience, and I watched them dance and act and sing in beautiful plays. I watched them pick each other up. I watched them take God's hand, and I was so happy for them, and I was able to cheer them on and encourage them, not only with words, but truly in my heart. I was able to laugh. I was able to smile. I was able to pray and worship. I was able to be a friend, a brother, and most importantly, I was able to call myself a child of God fully and unapologetically. It was the best gift I've ever been given, and I didn't realize I was being given it and that He was working on my heart this year. He also showed me that He could use me, and I was there for a purpose. When we were doing door-to-door, we were done with the whole thing, and we were walking back to the bus, and we were all tired. We were all, like, sweating terribly. But there was this one family sitting next to the bus, and we saw them, and we passed them when we first got there. But then we ended up going to pray for them. His name was Tulio, and he was a dad. And I just asked, "Do you need prayer for anything?" And he said something with a hospital, and he has a huge heart for it. So I got to share my testimony about being in the hospital with leukemia for many years, and then he opened up to me that he actually lost his son in the hospital, and that he made a pact with God that he wanted his son to survive, and he gave his whole life to God. And he said to this day he's honored the pact, but sadly his son passed away. So it was a very wholesome moment, and we were all crying, and I was just very thankful for that. Yeah, so this trip was a huge answer to a prayer request that I cried out standing right here, or sitting right here last year, and He answered it. He took away the deep pain in my heart, and He saved me. So now I stand here a year later, and I want to tell you that if you're in a season, or have ever been in a season, or if you go through a season of deep pain and a season of feeling like you've lost your identity, I hope that this moment can be a testimony that God sees us, He loves us so deeply, and all He wants is His sons and His daughters. That's you. That's us, and that's more than enough for Him. You, just as you are enough for Him. So when we pray later for people, I invite you to take your Father's hand, and sons and daughters, please run to the Father just as you are.
Wow, that was amazing, Lucas, and everyone that's testified so far. It's when I recognize what God's doing and has been doing. A few months ago, Pastor got up and acknowledged and said, "Hey, we're on the verge and the revival started." Shortly after that, the elder came up and said, "Let's have the youth come up." And a generation of young people got up here, and God released something over each one of them in this generation, that they would start their movers, that they're warriors in the kingdom of God. And the revival is starting with our youth. And here's a picture of it. I just want to acknowledge what God's been doing. Thank you. My name is James. I went last year and I just had an amazing time personally. God did some purging, some putting His fingers on the heart, places of my heart that needed some healing. And so I was very excited to come back this year and say, you know what, I want to go again, Derek, and with this youth, and just see what God's been doing and just do my part in prayer. But I was having a really difficult time this last week since we've gotten back on writing out a testimony, and I thought it would be much easier just because of the joy I felt watching all these young people in our group being a part and walking the streets of another nation and watching people come together. And it wasn't really until last night that my wife pointed out to me maybe why. And that is, my testimony begins with and starts with that I actually made it to the trip. In January, my mom was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer throughout her body. Shortly after that diagnosis, I had a very blessed and anointed conversation with myself and her up in the hospital, and I asked her if she was scared, and her response was, "No, I've lived an amazing life, and I know where I'm gonna go." Brought me tremendous peace. Jump forward a few months after, and her condition started to get worse. And the joy and the anticipation that I had being a part of this group changed to doubt and fear. Maybe I shouldn't be going. I want to spend some time with her. So that's my point. So my emotions were all over the place, confusing, that I reached out to a dear friend who shared with me that I need to talk to my mom and ask her. And I did, told her my concerns and my fears, and she reached out and she put her hand on mine and she said, no, you need to go. You've been talking about it. Your joy is in there. You've been telling me how excited you are for these kids. And so I just need you to know I'm giving my blessing. And I'm excited to hear about your trip when you return. I remember telling Derek throughout that there's things have been going up and down and there's a chance that I may not make it on this trip. And to his goodness and gracious and his love and passion, he fully understood. And I, as much as I wanted to connect with this group before we left, it felt like that was not happening for me personally. But I trusted God and I know his word says you can do all things through him. So 10 days before leaving for the DR, my mom passed away to be with the Lord on June 14th. And to say it wrecked me was an understatement. But I know his word says that his grace is enough, and praise God it is and was. I was blessed to speak at her funeral on the 23rd. And 2 days later, we left for the DR. It was God's grace and my obedience to his word that got me on that plane. Because I believed it was an appointed time, not just for myself, but for these group that was going and for the people that we'd meet. I heard him say that appointed time, not fully understanding what he meant, that he set up a time for me. And a part of that time was when we landed. I remember when we landed, my heart broke open with mourning, joy, and thankfulness that I made it. And I just felt the joy of my mom's spirit on me. I don't really like saying stuff like that, but I did. It was on the third day that I was talking to my wife that night, and I finally was able to say how grateful I was that I made this trip and how joyous it has been to watch these kids and be a part of what God's doing, revival. So to be able to recognize the blessing that was there in many, many levels, I've been able to see them down while I was down there, and still to this day, he's still continuing to show me more. What I witnessed was a group of young soldiers who loved the Lord and were walking out revival, whether it was stepping out in fear, whether it was praying for people they didn't know, showing unity in another culture, in another language. The Lord showed me this is what the church looks like. It's my desire of coming together, laying down differences. In like the tribes, when they moved out of Egypt and into the promised land, they did so in unity. So I want to thank you all for believing in us to fund a tremendous amount to send us there. I'm grateful that I was be able to be a part of it. And I just want to thank you to this amazing team.
Okay, my name is Doug, and I was able to experience such a time as this, which is amazing. So it started off in the youth night. I noticed this Dominican lady in the back, and she caught my attention because I saw her using sign language. And I thought, oh, interesting. So I thought I'd pursue her more. And so I was thinking, does she use Dominican sign language or American sign language? Because if she uses Dominican, I'm not going to understand her. There's no way. But she does use and she understands American Sign Language. So I decided to have a conversation with her. Her name is Jean Carroll. She's 24 years old. Her dad passed away when she was 7. So she lives with her mom and her 2 sisters, and they use sign language. So I'm thinking all these thoughts, going, wow, this is pretty cool. And then I had this question I'd had to ask her. And I said, you being here, how much do you understand what's going on? I mean, here's all these Spanish people, speaking people, what do you do? And she said, well, I lip read. And I went, okay, then how much do you understand? And she said, just a little. And I said, what about all the rest of the stuff? She goes, everything else is over her head. So I thought, okay, God, you want me to interpret? Okay, so I decided, okay, I'm going to do it. So it starts off with Jim and his interpreter, Spanish interpreter. And at first they said, hey, Doug, just sit right next to her and you can interpret. And I said, you can't, because they can't see me at the same time as they see what's on the stage. And so they said, okay, where do you want to sit? I said, I need to be up on stage. So I picked this nice spot with my chair. And then Jim And his interpreter came up, started speaking, but all of a sudden they'd move a little bit closer, a little bit closer, a little bit closer. And then I had to look around and start signing. And so I said, okay, I'm going to move my chair to the other side. So I moved my chair to the other side. So wouldn't you know? Then they started moving to the left, to the left, to the left. And Katie, my wife, would understand this. So I was able to actually interpret the two people who gave their testimonies and amazing message that Andrew gave. And then, of course, I got to linger with the same thing that Andrew lingered with no one came up front for prayer. Kind of great. So then the other group started coming up. All the youth started coming up, and I started praying for some. And little did I know, the next person would be Jean Carroll. And I got the opportunity. So I closed my eyes and just signed to her what God was speaking to me to tell her. And it was such a good moment. But I think God was setting this up the whole time. How do I know? Because all through the days, but prior to, we were talking about sign language. We were doing signs. We were doing all kinds of different signs, learning what to sign and what not to sign. You know how that is. So she was all of a sudden in the middle of us, and a group of us would come up one by one and actually sign their name. And so I'd like for that representation right here. So if those who can sign their name, can you take one step forward? Okay, on the count of three, we're going to sign. My name is, and then they're going to fingerspell their name. Okay, one, two, three. That right there, Jean Carroll just like was so surprised, and it was, like I said, a God's gift. And if he'd brought all of us so that Jean could experience that, just think what he would do for you.
Hello, my name is Katie. This was my fifth mission trip with City Church Youth. I was a leader three times and then a student twice, so I just can never seem to get enough. I seem to find myself up here every year. So before the trip had even started, God was preparing my heart and working a lot of things out in my personal life. Within a matter of weeks, I had graduated from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. I had found a job. I had got accepted into the master's program. And I found a place to live. So God had told me I'm staying in Green Bay. That is what's happening. But it was just such an awesome time. I had people praying and just he worked everything out. But I felt like I was kind of an imposter on this trip because I knew that I wasn't going to be physically here anymore after this trip. Well, I haven't been here for 4 years, but I won't be moving home, which was really sad because I love this church. I love my people. So, but that quickly was distinguished when I was struggling with money, struggling to pay for the rest of the trip. And I pull out my wallet and I'm just thinking, okay, I can't do it, but I have to pay because I want to go on this trip. And as soon as I reach for my wallet, I get a text from Pastor Derek that my trip's been paid for. So, anonymously by one of you. So, thank you so much. And so, the Lord was showing me I was meant to be there, that the enemy can work as hard as he wants, but he has no power over the Lord. So, he's always in control, even when we can't see him working it out right away. And then while on this trip, I just felt so blessed. I got to witness this team of youth take the lead on so many things. They just get to, the excitement about spreading the gospel is so awesome. I just can't explain it. The youth have just done amazing on this trip. And many of them shared their testimonies from the shooting in December. And I just am so proud of them. They all said that they didn't want to share their feelings and that they wouldn't. And then just watching them be vulnerable, even when it's difficult, and just share to people they don't know was just so awesome. They stepped out and the Lord provided. I got the honor of watching them from a different lens this year. I just see them loving others, serving without complaining, and being the first ones to pray is just something special, something I'll also never forget. They helped me build my faith just by being obedient to the Lord's plans. And then finally, I want to touch on the Cultural Immersion Day, where we went to Danya's family home with Lincoln and Sarah Ray. And she is someone so incredibly special. She helped me truly see that love is the only universal language, the only language that translates across all boundary lines. She loved hard, she never complained, and she continually tried to serve us, even though we were there to serve her. She also knew we were there to serve her, so that was a funny thing in itself, but I have never met someone with so much love who had gone through so much. She carried herself in a way that I admire, and I look forward to sharing the love she showed me with others back here. God showed me that even with little, we can still be full of joy. He is our protector, our healer, and the only one we need to strive to please. He will give us joy in all circumstances and has love for us that no one here on earth could ever beat. I want to continue soaking in his love and stop searching for it in the people here who will put out my fire. Lord, I will burn for you alone. Please continue to tend my fire and the church's fire. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Sarah. There are so many highlights from this trip. Our nightly team sharing stories, our cultural immersion day, and the services we attend, and that it's hard to condense everything. My testimony stems from 2 years ago when our nephew was killed in a car accident. We went to Belize that summer, and I was weighed down by the heaviness of grief. During one of our team services, I was freed from that grief. When we came back and had to share in the Sunday service, I told Pastor Tom that I didn't know if I could share my testimony because it was so hard. He said that God would use it to help other people. I wasn't sure how that would ever happen, but I shared that Sunday. Fast forward to May 2025, River Rising Service. Pastor Tom had the pastors and their wives pray for people that night. Derek and I prayed for at least three people that had lost loved ones, and after that service, God brought back to me the words Pastor Tom had spoken over me 2 years ago. On our door-to-door day, we walked through a village and stopped at people's homes to ask if we could pray for them. The first people we met told us about a tragedy in their community where a young man was killed by another man over something that was trivial. We prayed for safety in the community and for the youth and moved on to the next house. Miriam's house was our next stop. She had lost her mother a few months before and wanted prayer for that loss and for unity among her siblings. I was able to pray over her for her grief to lift and for God's presence and peace to fill her heart. The next place we stopped was the home of Jacoba. She had lost her grandson, the young man that was murdered in the village, as well as her daughter the month before. She is now raising her three grandchildren that her daughter left behind. We all prayed over her, and it was so precious. Then I asked if we could pray for her grandson, Eric, that was there with us, who was maybe, 10 or 11 years old. He stood between Lauren and me, and when I began to pray over him for peace and comfort after the loss of his mom, he just began to sob. Our small group just cried, prayed, and hugged the family. As I shared about our door-to-door time that night with our team, I shared how God placed our group with those specific people so I could pray and bring God's healing into their hearts and lives like he has in mine. God is so good and faithful, and if we allow him, he will bring his promises to pass in our lives. He has brought beauty from ashes and the oil of joy from mourning in my life, and he can use me to carry that to others here in the States as well as in the Dominican Republic.